Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, said in his message to the Islamic Ummah, I invite all world Muslims to choose the last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan, which can determine the fate of the people of Palestine as World Quds Day. In a ceremony, declare Muslims international solidarity and support for the legal rights of the Muslim people of Palestine. Dear listeners, the Islamic Revolution of Iran has been the supporter of the oppressed and downtrodden since its victory in 1979. Imam Khomeini called the Palestinian issue as a top priority for the Islamic world even before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, and always supported the Palestinian cause. He called Israel a cancerous tumor which must be uprooted. Imam Khomeini could see how dangerous the Zionist regime was in its expansionist policies. He used to caution the leaders of the Arab world and Islamic countries against the ultimate goal of the fake Zionist regime, namely to occupy the lands between the Nile and the Euphrates in a bid to obliterate all Islamic lands and massacre Muslims and slave them. Following the ideals of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has also prioritized the issue of Palestine for the Islamic Ummah. He has called Israel a cancerous tumor. This description of Israel shows the fact that this regime will continue its criminal life at the cost of destroying others. The Zionist regime first usurped 5% of the Palestinian territories, but now it has occupied more than 90% of these territories. Devastations of Palestinian homes, coercive expulsion of the Palestinians from their homeland, wide construction of Jewish settlements, extensive construction of illegal Jewish settlements on Palestinian lands, murdering and incarceration of brave Palestinian youth. Even Palestinian children are imprisoned in Zionist jails. Intensive economic siege on Palestinians, especially the people of the Gaza Strip. Harsh restrictions on Palestinian mobility are all part of the Zionist regime's mistreatment of Palestinians. Palestine and Gauls have a history of over 45 centuries. The land is sacred for Islam, Christianity and Judaism because many divine messengers got their divine mission there, and it was the first Qibla of Muslims. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is also the place of ascension to heaven of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Although this year, due to the coronavirus pandemic, there won't be demonstrations in the streets of Islamic cities, the issue of Palestine remains the top issue of the Islamic world, no matter how many servile leaders of Arab countries betray the Palestinian cause and normalize their ties with a diabolical regime in Tel Aviv. Most of the Arab leaders have betrayed Islam, the Palestinian cause, and the Holy Quran, as they have turned their backs upon the Palestinians and united with the Zionists. They have become the minions of the Zionists and are Israel's partners in crime. Last year, these mean leaders capitulated to the former US President Donald Trump and his bid to reduce the financial aid to Palestine. Shukri Bashara, Palestinian finance minister, said last year that the assistance of Arab states for Palestine had decreased by as much as 81.6%. The Al Alam television channel announced that Arab countries had helped $38.1 million from January to August of 2020, while this figure stood at $198.3 million in previous year 2019. The Saudi regime's help to the Palestinians only amounted to $30 million in the first 8 months of 2020, whereas the same figure was $130 million in 2019. For sure, the Saudis, Emiratis, Bahrainis are partners in crime with the Zionist regime. What adds salt to injury to the Palestinians is the fact that the United Nations, the UN Security Council and other international bodies have had no role in alleviating the pain of the Palestinians, despite their vociferous claims of human rights, rights of women and children, and so on. This is while if a Jewish person's property is lost or an incident takes place for a Jew somewhere in the world, these same international bodies, including the United Nations, will express sympathy for them. Brutal expulsion of the Palestinian people, people of Yemen and other Muslim lands, are not included in the charter of these so-called international organizations. For more than 70 years, the Israeli regime has committed the most heinous crimes in history against Palestinians. But the United Nations has kept silent. Its affiliated bodies have tacitly approved these Israeli crimes. And even if they have issued resolutions against the Zionist regime, these resolutions have never been binding. They have been mere scraps of paper and a cause of mockery by Israel as it has been emboldened to carry on with its crimes. The United States, Israel's principal backer, has used its power of veto at the United Nations to back up the Zionist regime. And the Zionist regime has continued with its nefarious crimes against humanity. Like the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the late Imam Khomeini, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has emphasized the Quranic principle of resistance, saying this is the only way to deter Israel and to support the Palestinian cause. Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The main recommendation is the continuation of the struggle and expansion of the arena of jihad in all Palestinian territories. And no doubt, the Zionist virus will not last. And with the efforts, faith and courage of all Muslims, it will be uprooted and obliterated from this region."
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Thank you. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatul Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and today, inshallah, we will look at the third verse of this beautiful supplication. The supplication is Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's supplication during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions, and intense grief. Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam, in the third verse, addressing Allah, says, فَهِيَ بِمَشِيَّتِكَ دُونَ قَوْلِكَ مُؤْتَمِرًا وبإرادتك دون نهيك منزجرا فهي بمشيتك دون قولك مؤتمرة وبإرادتك دون نهيك منزجرة. Thus, it is solely through your desire, without expressing your command, that the things submit to your command. And it is solely through your will, without expressing your prohibition, that they are prevented from your prohibitions. Actually, this again is a continuation of the expression of Allah's power. But here there is a subtlety that Imam is expressing that is worthy of consideration. This verse reveals the independent power of God, whose desire or will is sufficient for things to take place. He does not need to express what he wills to make things transpire. Some insightful scholars say that this refers to the Quranic verse, chapter 36, verse number 82, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أن يقول له كن فيكون. If you look at the many of the translators, they translate it in this way, that indeed his command is only when he desires to say to a thing be, and thus it takes place. Now, this is one of the translations. Mostly people translate that his command is when he desires a thing, that he says be and it becomes. That means Allah says be and then it becomes. While the translation here of those who look at it in a more fine comprehension, they say, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That means, indeed, his command is only when he desires to say a thing be, and it becomes. That means, only when he desires, not that he says it, no, he just desires. Arada, he just wants something to happen, it happens. So, إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ, when he wants to say to something to be, he just wants it, it becomes. See, there is a difference. The first translation was that when he wants anything to take place, he says be, and it is. So here, it's as if Allah is, needs something, an expression, and says be, and then it becomes, all right? But in the second translation, which is more finer, he only wills to say to something to be, and it becomes. That means he doesn't say it to be. So this is what is intended.
Rabbana, a path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana.
If we look at the translation of the verse of chapter 36, verse number 82, فَهِيَ بِمَشِيَّتِكَ دُونَ قَوْلِكَ مُؤْتَمِرًا. It is solely through your desire, without expressing your command, that they submit to your command. And obviously, the insightful scholars say that everything's reality is with Allah in His knowledge. And therefore, when He wants something to happen, that thing, إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا, that shay itself, because a person would say that how can he want something that to transpire in this conventional sense, that how can the thing be there and then it transpires? It's like, when we look at it in our minds, when we want something to happen, we have it as a thought in our mind, and we want that thing to happen, and therefore we try to make it happen. Obviously, not the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it happen, but we have to get the material of that thing and slowly and gradually build it and make it happen. But with Allah, it's not like that. He doesn't need any prior material. He is mukhtari'. He is the one who actually brings something without any material, prior material. He doesn't need any material. Actually, He manifests in that thing. He discloses Himself in that thing, in that subtler sense of understanding. And therefore, when we say that إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, when He wants something to transpire and to say to its kun, just wants it, he desires it, it becomes. That it is that knowledge of Allah prior to our existence, about our every moment of our existence up to the day of judgment and eternally. It's very important to understand that it is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us and then He comes to know what will happen to us. No, every will, every volition, every thought that comes in our mind up to the day of judgment and eternally is with the knowledge of Allah. So that's what, when He wants us in that level of knowledge to come out, it becomes. So this is what is important to realize, because a person would say that فَهِيَ بِمَشِيَّتِكَ دُونَ قَوْلِكَ مُؤْتَمِرَ is clearly against this verse, because it says إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That means that Allah has to say something like kun. But we came to realize that a subtler translation is that He doesn't need to say something the way we say something, or the way a master commands a servant and the servant succumbs to his command. It's not like that. It is his volition itself, his will itself. He desires something and it becomes. He doesn't need anything for that to become. Inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion in our next session. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us start the day by reflecting on a gem of an advice from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, hailed by his cousin and father-in-law, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as the gateway to the city of knowledge. All containers are reduced in capacity by what is placed in them, except a container of knowledge which expands.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, an Iran sat or BAT5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. The light.
Over the past few years, people have become more aware of the detrimental effect of littering to the environment. Bolivians have launched a nationwide campaign aimed at protecting the country's scenic spots and waterways from human waste. Hundreds of volunteers were seen cleaning up the Valley of the Souls near La Paz, which is famous for its unusual razor-sharp rock formations. The volunteers, aided by heavy machinery, managed to collect over 15 tons of plastic waste and construction rubble from the rocky canyon. Activist Carola says people needed to speak up more in defense of the nature, which is increasingly coming under threat.
It is incredible how we can find jewels like this painting amid all these piles of rubble and garbage, and we are surprised and ask what is going on with nature. It is a tourist place where many people come. The Valley of the Souls is very special, and many people have gathered together here to be a voice for nature and to get it the care and respect it deserves.
Last month, the campaign also cleared the highland lake of Uru in western Bolivia, which is said to be full of more plastic than water. Campaigners say they will continue their efforts until no place with garbage is left in the country. An exhibition in the Belgian province of Walloon-Brabant has put on display several objects belonging to French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte. A belt with the word Waterloo written on it, a flintlock pistol, Napoleon's shoe, bathtub, clothes, and several other objects are all displayed in the exhibition. Many of the items are brought from Napoleon's last residence on St. Helena Island. The curators say the exhibition aims to show Napoleon's daily life and the way he lived. Earlier this week, an auction was set up in France offering Napoleon's blood-stained cloth, estimated to be sold for $18,000. May 5th marks the 200th anniversary of Napoleon's death. People always try to find new ways to connect and support each other at the moment of crisis. A young Indian is one such example who is saving lives by providing free oxygen to coronavirus patients. 32-year-old Shanawaz Sheikh is a resident of India's commercial hub, Mumbai. He launched the campaign during the first wave of the pandemic when his friend's cousin died of COVID-19 on the way to hospital. Now popularly known as Oxygen Man, Shanawaz sold his car last June and used the money to buy oxygen cylinders for those in need. He and his team have now set up a control room to deliver oxygen to patients. They send the cylinder as soon as they receive a call from a COVID patient or a family.
Without oxygen, a patient can't live. They need it very badly, even in the ambulance on the way to hospital. If Shanawaz wasn't helping, patients would likely not even make it to hospitals. They would die on the way.
Shanawaz says his team helped nearly 5,000 people during the first wave of the pandemic last year and is planning to help as many as possible during the second wave. His initiative is earning him much praise on social media, with many calling Shanawaz and his team real heroes during the crisis.
This is IRIB English Radio, special coverage.
Well, dear listeners, here we interrupt the normal course of our program to have the live coverage of this speech by the leader of Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on the occasion of International Quds Day. Let's take a listen.
The Day of Judgment. The issue of Palestine is still the most important and active issue for the Islamic community. The policies of the oppressive and cruel capitalism has driven a people from their homes, from their homeland, and also their ancestral rules. And instead, it has put in place a terrorist regime, and it helps comprised of outsiders. You can never find any weaker reason than the establishment of the Zionist regime, any weaker logic. Europeans claimed during the Second World War that the Europeans oppressed the Jews during the Second World War, so they believed that they have to take revenge by rendering certain people refugees in West Asia and by committing horrible crimes in that country. This is the logic that the Western governments, with the on the back of their wholehearted and blind support for the Zionist regime, they have stuck to this, and in this way, all their false claims about human rights and democracy, they have disproved them all. And this ridiculous and at the same time tragic story has been going on for 70 years, and every now and then they add a new chapter. Well, the Zionists, since the very first day, they turned the occupied Palestine into a terrorist bastion. Israel is not a country. It's a barracks. It's a bastion of a terrorist camp against the Palestinian people and also other Muslim nations. Fighting this despotic regime means fighting oppression and terrorism. And this is a collective responsibility. So there is a point that is noteworthy, and that's despite the fact that the occupying regime was established in 1948, but the ground for grabbing and occupying the sensitive Islamic region had already been prepared years before that. Now, those years coincide with the active intervention of Western countries and Islamic states in order to establish secularism and excessive and blind nationalism. And also it had the goal of installing and putting in place oppressive governments that were controlled by the West. So when you study those events in Iran, in Turkey, and Arab countries from West Asia to North Africa, then it reveals this bitter truth that weakness and disunity in the Islamic community set the stage for the occupation of Palestine. And this was a blow that was delivered onto the Islamic community by the world of arrogance. Now, we draw a lesson from this, that at that time, both camps of capitalism and communism, they entered a collusion with Zionist cartels. It was the English. They masterminded the main plot, and the Zionist capitalists, they performed it, they executed it on the back of their money and weaponry. And the Soviet Union was the first government that recognized the establishment of the illegitimate regime and then dispatched crowds of Jews to that region. The usurper regime was actually an outcome of that situation in the world of Islam, and also this European plot and scheme, an invasion and transgression on the other hand. That was the result of these two phenomena. Now, today, things have changed. It's not the same as those days. We have to keep this in mind, this fact that today we see the balance of power tilted toward the world of Islam. A host of social and political incidents happened both in the U.S. and Europe, and they revealed the weaknesses in the deep structural and managerial and moral conflicts and the issues of the Westerners. Now, what happened during the U.S. election, and also the scandalous failures and ordeal of its arrogant managers, and also the one-year unsuccessful battle against the COVID pandemic in the U.S. and Europe, and also the embarrassing things that happened on the sidelines, on top of the recent political and social chaos in the most important European countries, they are all indicative of the downfall movement of the Western camp and its collapse. On the other hand, you see the growth of the resistance forces in the most sensitive Islamic regions. You see the development of their defensive and offensive capabilities, the growth of self-awareness, motivation, and hope in Muslim nations, and also a tendency toward Islam and Quranic slogans, growth of independence, growth of self-reliance in peoples. They're all auspicious signs and signals for a better future. Now, in this, in such future, we need to see cooperation and synergy among the Islamic State. That should be the main goal, and that does not seem to be so far-fetched. So the axis or the pivot for this is the issue of Palestine. That's the entirety of the whole country and the destiny of the Holy Quds. This is the very same fact that Imam Khomeini's heart was led to declare International Quds Day on the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. So synergy among the Muslims and their convergence around the axis of the Holy Quds is a nightmare for the Zionists and also for their U.S. and European backers. The botched project called the Deal of Century, and later on the efforts to normalize relations between a few weak Arab states with the Zionist regime, there were some of the desperate attempts that were made in order to just get away from that nightmare. So I'm telling you here confidently that these attempts will not get anywhere. The downward movement and collapse of the Zionist enemy has just started. It will not stop. So there are two factors determining the course of the future. First of all, it's the constant resistance, nonstop resistance inside Palestinian land, and also the boosting of the line of jihad and martyrdom. And second, it's global support by governments and Muslim nations across the world, their support for the Palestinian Mujahideen. All of us, officials, intellectuals, scholars, political parties, the groups, our youth, and also people from all walks of life, they need to try and find their own spot and situation and position in this public movement and play our own part. This is what would nullify the enemy's deception. And God has promised us, God says that today intend a plot, but those who defy Allah are themselves involved in a plot. This is what God says. And Allah has full power and control of his affairs that most mankind do not follow. And that's the end of the Farsi speech. So allow me to address Arab youths in Arabic. In the name of God, the compassionate and merciful, greetings upon all the freedom-loving individuals in the Arab world, particularly the Arab youths, and also greetings upon the people of Palestine, the resistant people of Palestine, and also those, the custodians of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Greetings be upon the martyrs of resistance and also those who struggled in the path of God, those who put their lives on the line, especially Martyr Sheikh Ahmed Yassin and also Martyr Abbas Musavi, Martyr Fatih Shahabi, Martyr Imad Mughniyeh, Martyr Abdulaziz Rintisi, and Martyr Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. And also the most prominent figure among the martyrs of the resistance, Martyr Qasim Soleimani. Even after their fruitful and blessed life, on the back of their martyrdom, each of these personalities left a huge impact on the resistance. Well, the struggle endeavors of the Palestinians and the pure blood of the martyrs of resistance, they have been able to hold up this flag high and also to raise the internal power of the Palestinian struggle multiple times. So one day we see Palestinian youth, they used to defend themselves, they threw stones at one time. The very same Palestinian youths who used to throw stones one day, today they are standing against the enemy by attacking and using precision and precision-guided missiles. Palestine and Quds, it has been described in the Holy Quran as the Holy Land. Quran is calling it the Holy Land, Palestine. It's been for 10 years now that the most malicious and wicked human beings, they have been occupying this pure land. They are the devils. They are devils who shed the blood of honorable, noble men, and then they admit to it with full shamelessness. They are racist. They are racists who have harassed the people. For more than 7 years, they have harassed the real owners of the land. They have murdered them. They have looted. They have imprisoned. They have tortured them. But thankfully, and thank God, they have not been able to break their willpower and determination. Palestine is alive. It's going on with its struggle with jihad. It will eventually overcome the wicked enemy on the back of God's assistance. The Holy Quds and the entire Palestine, it belongs to people in Palestine. And those who will hopefully regain their position again will go back home, as God has promised. All Muslim states and nations, they are all, it's incumbent upon all of them to have a struggle as the pivot of their activities. It's now almost 14 million people inside and outside Palestine. We have 14 million Palestinians. And the willpower, the unity, the willpower of these people will really work miracles if they work together. So the Palestinian unity, the enemies of the Palestinian unity are the Zionist regime, the United States, and also some other political powers. But if this unity, is not shattered from within the Palestinian society, then extrinsic enemies will not be able to do a damn thing. Now, the axis and the pivot of this unity must be a national jihad or a struggle and lack of trust in the enemy. Now, the main enemies of the Palestinians, the arch enemy of the Palestinians, are the United States, Britain, the wicked Zionists. They should not be used as a source of support for Palestinian politics. So all Palestinians, I mean those Palestinians in Gaza, in Guds in the West Bank. In the year 1948, those who live in the lands of 1948, and even those living in refugee camps, all of them constitute one single people, one single unit, and they should adopt the strategy of working together and coordination. Every sector, every part should defend another part, and they should utilize some other tools at their disposal anytime, whatever they have disposal, anytime they're under pressure. So today, the hope of achieving victory is stronger than ever. Today, the balance is tilted in favor of the Palestinians. The Zionist enemy has become weaker year after year. The Zionist army that used to describe itself the army which will never be defeated, not today, after the 33-day war in Lebanon and also the 22-day experiences they went through and the 8-day wars also, what happened in Gaza, now they have turned into an army that will never gain victory. Now, as for this political situation, it's been forced to hold 4 elections in 2 years. Also, in terms of the security, it has had to face a defeat. The increasing desire among Jews to immigrate also has become a source of embarrassment for the Zionist regime. Well, they have tried hard to normalize relations with, of course, on the back of with assistance of the United States. They have tried to normalize relations with a few Arab states. This is a sign of a decline of that regime. And, of course, this will not help them. This will not benefit them in any way. 10 years ago, they started relations with Egypt. But since then, the Zionist enemy has become much weaker and much more vulnerable. Therefore, through the normalization of relations with a few weak and mean and little states, they will not be able to benefit from anything. So those countries will not benefit from their relations with the Zionists either. The Zionist regime will transgress against their financial resources, their land, and it will promote occupation and security in those countries. These are the facts, these are the truth that should not make others forget about their hefty responsibility. So Muslim and Christian scholars, they need to announce as forbidden the act of normalization from a religious perspective. Also, intellectuals and freedom-seeking individuals should explain to everyone the result of this treason, which is a stab in the back of Palestinians. And then, contrary to the downward movement of and the collapse of the Zionist regime, you see the rise and the boost in the capabilities of the resistance camp, which is a sign of bright future. You see a boost in their defense and military power. You're witness to self-sufficiency. They're making weapons that work. They are also boosting their self-confidence. They are raising awareness among the youth, and they are extending the resistance circle to the entire country, inside Palestine and outside. And the recent uprising by the Palestinian youths defending the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the simultaneous promotion of the Palestinian nation's spirit of jihad and struggle and innocence among the public opinion in many parts of the world. This is what we see recently. And they all give us the omen, a very good omen. So the a logic behind the Palestinian cause that Iran has raised it in United Nations documents. We had this proposal to hold a national referendum in Palestine. We put forward on November 1st, 2019. This is a progressive and attractive logic. The Palestinian warriors can bring up the idea of holding this referendum in which the Palestinians should take part. And then this referendum will be the thing that will determine the political system of the country. And then the main participants from all should be from all ethnic groups and tribes and all of faiths. They should all participate in it, all the Palestinians. And this novel political system will bring back the expatriates, the refugees, and will determine the fate of foreigners that live in there. So this is the demand that is based on the common democracy that the whole world accepts, and that no one can doubt, no one can question it being progressive. Palestinian fighters, they need to continue their legitimate and moral fight against the usurper regime, as long as the regime is forced to give in to their demand. So move forward in the name of God. And you should know that Allah will certainly aid those who aid His cause. That's Holy Quran. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy. That's the end of the speech.
Dear listeners, what you heard was the speech delivered by the leader of Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on the occasion of the International Quds Day. Please stay with IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. What you just heard was our special coverage. We now return to our normal course of programs.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.